Goldman Sachs joins private equity rush into telehealth as virtual care becomes permanent. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde. And number 9,650, Goldman Sachs, Avacy Partners, Grove Court Capital, and QC Capital executed 5 distinct telehealth deals in recent weeks, with Goldman Sachs likely writing checks north of $250 million per transaction. Telehealth gross margins typically exceed 60% at platform scale, compared to 20 to 30% for labor-intensive care delivery models, making it attractive relative to traditional home health and physician practice management. Telehealth utilization rates have stabilized far above pre-2020 baselines, supported by 3 structural tailwinds: permanent reimbursement parity in commercial contracts, proven cost savings in chronic disease management, and durable consumer preference shifts. Goldman Sachs, Avacy Partners, Grove Court Capital, and QC Capital are leading a new wave of private equity capital into telehealth companies, marking the sector's transition from pandemic-driven experiment to permanent infrastructure play. The firms executed 5 distinct deals in recent weeks, underscoring institutional conviction that virtual care delivery has crossed from tactical necessity to strategic growth vector. The flurry of activity comes as telehealth utilization rates stabilize at levels far above pre-2020 baselines. While specific transaction values and target company names were not disclosed, the participation of both mega funds and specialized healthcare investors signals broad consensus on the sector's risk-adjusted return profile. Goldman Sachs's involvement is particularly noteworthy. The investment bank rarely deploys principal capital into nascent sectors without structural tailwinds it views as decade-long phenomena. The deals span the telehealth value chain, from direct-to-consumer platforms to business-to-business enablement software, according to sources familiar with the transactions. This diversification strategy mirrors the sector's own evolution beyond simple video consultation tools toward comprehensive digital health ecosystems integrating diagnostics, pharmacy fulfillment, and longitudinal care management. Why this matters now: telehealth is no longer trading on regulatory forbearance or emergency use authorizations. The sector's growth thesis now rests on 3 pillars: permanent reimbursement parity in most commercial contracts, proven cost savings in chronic disease management, and consumer preference shifts that have proven durable beyond pandemic fear. Private equity's renewed interest reflects confidence that these tailwinds are structural, not cyclical. The timing also aligns with a broader capital rotation within healthcare private equity. As traditional home health and physician practice management platforms face wage inflation and labor scarcity, telehealth offers a technology-enabled model with superior unit economics. The sector's gross margins typically exceed 60% once platform scale is achieved, compared to 20 to 30% for labor-intensive care delivery models. Deal composition and strategic rationale: the 5 transactions represent distinct subsector bets. Avacy Partners, known for its healthcare IT specialization, likely targeted revenue cycle or clinical workflow software that supports telehealth delivery rather than patient-facing platforms. The firm's typical check size ranges from $50 million to $150 million for growth equity stakes in founder-led businesses approaching profitability. Grove Court Capital and QC Capital, both middle-market specialists, probably focused on regional or specialty-specific platforms where consolidation opportunities remain abundant. The telehealth landscape still features hundreds of single-indication or single-geography players ripe for buy-and-build strategies. Mental health, dermatology, and musculoskeletal care have emerged as particularly fragmented niches with strong reimbursement dynamics. Goldman Sachs's participation signals either a platform investment at significant scale or a take-private transaction of a publicly traded telehealth player that has underperformed growth expectations despite solid fundamentals. The bank's private equity arm typically writes checks north of $250 million, suggesting either a control transaction or a late-stage growth round in a company approaching $100 million in annual recurring revenue. The deals also reflect a maturation in diligence standards. Early telehealth investments in 2020 and 2021 often relied on user growth and engagement metrics with limited scrutiny of clinical outcomes or payer economics. The current generation of buyers is demanding proof of medical cost reduction, patient retention beyond 1 year, and pathways to risk-based contracting where the platform shares in total cost of care savings. Broader market context and competitive landscape: telehealth's resurgence in institutional investor portfolios comes as other 2026 healthcare trends provide supporting evidence of digital health staying power. Odyssey Therapeutics completed a $304 million initial public offering in early May, with proceeds earmarked for clinical trials of immunology drugs targeting inflammatory bowel disease. The biotech's success in accessing public markets demonstrates sustained investor appetite for healthcare innovation platforms, even in therapeutic areas traditionally dominated by large pharmaceutical companies. The initial public offering priced 15.5 million shares at $18 each, exceeding the initially planned offering by 2.3 million shares and hitting the top of the projected price range. TPG Life Sciences Innovation participated in a concurrent private placement of nearly 1.4 million shares, adding approximately $25.20 million to the total raise. This participation from a dedicated life sciences investment platform underscores institutional conviction in healthcare technology and services businesses that leverage scientific innovation to improve clinical and economic outcomes. Separately, the FDA granted its seventh approval under the National Priority Voucher Pilot Program on May 8, 2026, for Bizengri, a drug treating Energy 1 fusion-positive cholangiocarcinoma. The accelerated approval timeline demonstrates regulatory willingness to expedite access to breakthrough therapies for rare diseases with unmet medical needs. This regulatory flexibility parallels the reimbursement policy evolution that has benefited telehealth, where emergency pandemic authorities have been codified into permanent coverage in many states and commercial contracts. The FDA approval marked the first drug for adults with advanced, unresectable or metastatic cholangiocarcinoma harboring an Eregulin 1 gene fusion with disease progression after prior systemic therapy. Partner Therapeutics secured the approval after a single-arm trial of 19 patients demonstrated that 36.8% achieved an overall response, with duration ranging from 2.8 months to 12.9 months. The compressed review timeline and willingness to approve based on relatively small patient cohorts reflects the same pragmatic regulatory philosophy now applied to digital health technologies, where real-world evidence and surrogate endpoints increasingly substitute for traditional randomized controlled trial designs. Unit economics and value creation playbook. Private equity's telehealth thesis rests on several proven value creation levers. First is geographic expansion. Platforms that have achieved product market fit in one region or payer network can scale rapidly through technology replication with minimal marginal cost. Second is vertical integration. Platforms increasingly bundle pharmacy fulfillment, durable medical equipment, and lab services to capture a larger share of total episode spending. Third is payer contract sophistication. The shift from fee-for-service to value-based arrangements allows platforms to profit from medical cost savings they generate rather than merely charging consultation fees. The most successful platforms have achieved customer acquisition costs below $150 per patient while generating lifetime values exceeding $1,200. This 8-to-1 ratio provides cushion for continued investment in product development and sales expansion while maintaining attractive cash-on-cash returns for financial sponsors. The key variable remains patient retention. Platforms that successfully transition from episodic consults to longitudinal care relationships command valuation premiums of 40-60% relative to transactional competitors. Operational improvements post-acquisition typically focus on provider utilization rates and clinical protocol standardization. The best-performing platforms achieve clinician productivity of 25-30 patient encounters per 8-hour shift, compared to 15-20 for early-stage competitors. This efficiency gap translates directly to contribution margin. High-performing platforms generate 70-75% gross margins after variable provider costs, while less optimized businesses struggle to exceed 55%. Regulatory and reimbursement tailwinds. The sustainability of telehealth investment returns depends critically on continued favorable regulatory treatment. Most commercial payers have now embedded telehealth parity into standard contract language, eliminating the risk of abrupt policy reversals. Medicare's permanent adoption of audio-only telehealth for behavioral health services removed a significant overhang that had depressed valuations through 2024 and 2025. State-level licensure compacts, which allow clinicians to practice across state lines via a single credential, have expanded from 12 states in 2023 to 29 states as of 2026. This regulatory harmonization is crucial for platform economics. Customer acquisition costs plummet when a single provider can serve patients in multiple states, eliminating the need to maintain redundant clinical staff in each geography. The ongoing FDA public meeting on June 4, 2026, to solicit feedback about the National Priority Voucher Program's eligibility criteria and review procedures signals continued regulatory evolution toward faster innovation cycles. Written comments remain open through June 29, 2026. This appetite for stakeholder input and iterative program refinement mirrors the collaborative approach regulators have adopted toward digital health, where guidance documents are frequently updated to reflect technological capabilities rather than imposing rigid compliance frameworks designed for legacy modalities. The Plaquemium view. The Goldman Sachs participation is the signal we watch closest. The firm does not chase fads. Its involvement suggests telehealth has cleared three critical hurdles: revenue visibility extending beyond 24 months, paths to 40% plus EBITDA margins at scale, and defensibility against both new entrants and legacy health system competitors. The real opportunity, however, lies not in the platforms receiving capital today but in the second derivative plays. As telehealth matures, the value migrates from patient-facing brands to the infrastructure enabling them, credentialing and privileging software, clinical decision support algorithms, and interoperability middleware connecting disparate electronic health records. These picks and shovels businesses trade at enterprise value to revenue multiples of 8 to 12 times compared to 4 to 6 times for direct telehealth platforms, yet face less regulatory scrutiny and churn risk. We also see merger arbitrage opportunities emerging. The sector's fragmentation and the participation of both strategic and financial buyers create pricing dislocations. Specialty telehealth platforms in mental health and chronic disease management are currently trading at 30 to 50% discounts to horizontal primary care platforms despite superior retention economics and less competitive intensity. Sponsors with operational capabilities to consolidate 3 to 5 specialty assets into a multi-indication platform can manufacture 200 to 300 basis points of excess returns relative to single asset strategies. The most contrarian view, telehealth's true endgame is not virtual first care but hybrid models where digital triage and longitudinal monitoring reduce the need for in-person encounters by 60 to 70% while improving clinical outcomes. Platforms that crack this care coordination model, particularly for Medicare Advantage populations where total cost of care matters most, will command strategic acquisition premiums from health systems and national payers seeking to arrest medical cost trend. That outcome is 18 to 36 months away, but the platforms receiving growth capital today are positioning to be acquisition targets in that wave. The bottom line: private equity's renewed telehealth offensive reflects sector maturation, not speculative excess. The participation of Goldman Sachs alongside specialized healthcare investors validates both the market size and the sustainability of returns. For institutional allocators, the question is no longer whether telehealth warrants exposure but which subsector and value chain position offers the best risk-adjusted entry point. The platform's closing growth rounds today at 4 to 6 times revenue multiples will likely exit at 6 to 9 times if they execute on margin expansion and retention targets. The infrastructure plays enabling those platforms may deliver superior returns at lower volatility. The optimal strategy: overweight specialty platforms in therapeutic areas with strong clinical evidence and underpenetrated total addressable markets, while maintaining selective exposure to workflow and interoperability infrastructure that benefits from sector growth regardless of which patient-facing brands ultimately win. Watch the revenue retention cohorts. Platforms sustaining 90% plus net dollar retention after year 3 have crossed into compounding territory where financial sponsor returns become highly predictable. Those still struggling to hold 75% retention remain science projects regardless of top-line growth rates. The difference between these cohorts will determine which sponsors generate 3x plus cash returns and which face down rounds or subscale exits when the capital cycle inevitably tightens. The time to position is now, before the market fully prices the distinction.